I remember sitting in a lesson with one of my music professors once, and he had a great wit about him. He was a funny guy, but he was not afraid to be crude as well and use inappropriate words. Well, I was sitting with him in our music lesson, and I said something crude. I didn't know it was. I just thought it was a cliche that meant something clean, and it didn't. It meant something dirty, and he let me know that. And then he said something really interesting to me. He said, Josh, it's okay when I say stuff like that, but you really shouldn't. So I just found that interesting. We're going to come back to that later, but first I want to talk about something from today's Torah portion. We have in Leviticus chapter 17 one of the clearest statements of our need for blood atonement. And this is something that we in mainstream Judaism disagree over. And this is something that we've got to maintain. This is what defines us. This is our strong point. My rabbi in Virginia, great scholar, brilliant man, and he would have these debates with the Chabad rabbi in town. And for those who don't know, probably most of you do, but for those who may not, you know, the Chabad, they're ultra-Orthodox. And he would debate with them, and sometimes Messianic Jews get this idea that we can debate from the Talmud and the rabbinic writings and point to examples of how, look, Yeshua does fit within the concept that some of the rabbis had. And he really does, to some extent, not to everything rabbinic, of course, but there are rabbinic sayings that say, wait a second, Yeshua fits exactly what you're saying here. But my rabbi would try to debate with a Chabad rabbi on these points, and he said, you know what, Josh, I couldn't keep up with him. This guy knows his stuff. I mean, this guy's probably been raised since literally he was 3 years old on rabbinic Judaism. He knows the Talmud inside and out. He knows the rabbinic writings and sayings and thoughts and so forth. He said, I couldn't debate him on that level. He said, so I had to keep coming back to the idea of blood atonement. Every time we would start to talk, I would say, so have you found your blood atonement yet? Right? And he would respond, I don't need blood atonement. Well, you do need blood atonement. And when they see that, then they've got nothing to say, right? Now, they have, during Yom Kippur, during the High Holy Days, they have something that some Orthodox Jews do called Schlingen Kipporis, or, where they take the chicken, right, and they say a prayer, they pay for the chicken, they say a prayer, they sling the chicken around over their head, three circles I think it is, and they chop off its head. A lot of rabbis say, don't do that, it's not right, it's not proper. It's not right, it's not proper, right? It's not ordained by Torah. But they do it anyway because of this deep, I think, inner heart cry for blood atonement, okay? In fact, I knew a Jewish guy once. I was going to the Reform Temple, and he was just reading the scriptures, and he said, you know what, I need blood atonement. And so he started, he went to the rabbi, and he said, you know, I think Jesus is the Messiah. And the rabbi said, that's nice. By the way, I need somebody to teach Shabbat school. Could you? And he said, did you hear what I just said? I said, I think Jesus is the Messiah. Anyway, so he started going to the Messianic synagogue. That doesn't happen too often, but it's got to be our message. You need blood atonement. Leviticus 17:11 is a great verse for us to memorize. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. Okay, and it's in the context there. Don't eat blood. Why don't you eat blood? You don't eat blood, well, yes, it's not healthy, but that's not the point here. The point is you don't eat blood because that's set aside for sacred use, right? That's for the altar. You don't eat what belongs to the Lord. The life belongs to the Lord. That blood needs to go before the Lord as a symbol of a life being shed for the sake of sin, that we can be cleansed, that the payment due us of for our sins to the Lord can be paid for, that we can receive the atonement. And what does atonement mean? It doesn't just mean forgiveness of sins. It means getting rid of the filth that would keep us from fellowship with the Lord, right? To be unclean doesn't always mean sinful, right? There's nothing sinful about having a baby. But a woman, after she has a baby, is considered unclean. She can't go into the temple, right? Couldn't go into the tabernacle. There's nothing unclean about... I'm sorry, there's nothing sinful about some of the things that cause uncleanness, okay? But the atonement takes care. Sometimes, you know, it's the washing and so forth. But the blood atonement gets rid of, yes, the sin, but also any uncleanness that would keep you from fellowship with the Lord. And this is given to us in the Torah by animal sacrifice very often, okay? Following this idea of blood atonement in Leviticus 17 is a long list of practical things regarding holiness. Now you've been atoned for, you can live in fellowship with the Lord. How does a life of an atoned for person look? How does it look? Well, you can't... I guess rules like you can't marry, you know, it, basically incest is forbidden, right? Incest is forbidden, adultery is forbidden, you have to honor your parents, idolatry is forbidden, you got to make sure that the sojourner and the poor are taken care of. Don't glean your vineyards all the way to the very edges. Leave that for the poor. Leave that for the sojourner in your midst. Don't steal, don't lie, etc., etc. You're atoned for. This is the life of an atoned for person. This is the Torah, okay? And in Leviticus 18, 1 through 3, God gives us a warning. Okay, before he gives us all these don't steal, don't lie kind of things, he says, don't look like the people around you. Okay, your life should not look like their life. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt. Forget where you came out of. You can't live like that anymore. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. You shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan. Don't look like the people in the land of Canaan where you're about to go, where I am bringing you. You shall not follow their statutes. I am the Lord. You have to live the life of an atoned for person. Okay? And how does that look? And then he gives a list of rules, do's and don'ts for holiness, for a holy life. Okay? Because we are set apart. And I think probably subconsciously my professor understood that. Okay? There's something different about Josh. He's a believer. I'm not a believer. Something different about his life in the Lord. I'm sure he didn't verbalize it to himself this way. But he noticed there's something different. He can't look like the people around him. He can't speak like I speak. There's something different. And that's what we need. We need something different about us, right? We need to not just look like the people around us. But too often, it hasn't been that way, right? Too often, reading the Bible, it's like, wow, Israel, you blew it. You blew it here, you blew it there, and too often, you know, the church looks back and points the finger at Israel. Look at what Israel did. Well, look at what the church did, too, right? You know, the church hasn't been any better, if as good, as Israel was, right? How many silent Christians were there during the Holocaust? How many people who took on the name of Christian persecuted us during the Inquisition and so forth and so on. And people say, well, they weren't real Christians. Yes, that's true. They weren't real Christians. But there should have been enough real Christians in the mix that kind of thing didn't happen. Enough willing to stand up. But too often we fail, right? We fail. Israel failed over and over again. The church failed over and over again. And this is a travesty for a redeemed people, for a people with atonement. We need to look different and behave different, and too often Israel looked just like the people around them, okay? Given to idolatry, given to way too much sexual license, etc., etc. We didn't look any different, and a lot of times we didn't want to look different, but God has called us to be different. The book of Ephesians, one of Paul's letters to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians parallels very closely our Torah portions this week. It's a double Torah portion. And the book of Ephesians parallels it very closely. First of all, it has in the beginning there the idea of blood atonement. Okay, so Ephesians 1:7, okay, in whom, meaning Yeshua, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So just like Leviticus 17:11 says that I've given you blood for your atonement, now we know we've got the blood atonement of the Messiah. Okay, so we've got direct correlation there, okay? Like Leviticus 18:3 warns us not to look like the pagan nations. Don't look like Egypt where you came from. Don't look like Canaan where you're going. Ephesians 4:17 tells us make sure you don't look like the people around you, right? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles also walk, or the rest of the nations walk. You need to be different. You need to look different and behave differently. You're not the same anymore. You've had that blood atonement. You've been set apart. Okay? And then, just like Leviticus gives us a list of rules, okay, for holy living, Ephesians also gives us a list of rules for holy living, many of them mirroring exactly what's taught in the Torah portion, okay? Don't lie, okay? Ephesians 4:25. Don't let anger lead to sin. Don't steal, right? That's something I mentioned from the Torah portion. Don't steal. Share with those in need, just like the Torah portion says, don't glean to the edge so that you make sure that the sojourner and the poor have something to eat. Okay, so Ephesians 4:28, share with those in need. Use your words to build others up. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Avoid sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:3, just like the Torah portion tells us to, warns us against incest and other sexual immorality. Avoid obscene and coarse talk. Obey your parents. In Ephesians 6:1, just like the Torah tells us to honor our parents. Okay? So we've got a very parallel structure here. Blood atonement. Now that that's been done, don't make sure you don't look like the peoples around you. Here's how you do that. Here's how you should look. Here's how you live a holy life. Very parallel in structure, but there is a striking addition, I'll say, to Ephesians that we don't see in Leviticus. And what is that? That is this talk of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, having heard the word of the truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom having also believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. By putting your faith in Yeshua, you have been sealed. You've been set apart. You've been made different. You've been grafted into God's family by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit, through His Ruach, in the inward man. Okay? So despite the blood atonement given under the Torah, it's incomplete. Okay, it's what was perfect at the time, what we needed, what God could give us, what we were able to accept at the time. But the Bible makes it clear this is incomplete. Okay, the book of Hebrews talks a lot about it's not perfect. The sacrificial system is not perfect. And we see that in Leviticus 16, also in this week's Torah portion, this elaborate description of the procedures during Yom Kippur, during the High Holy Days, okay? Look at how restrictive it is. First of all, to come into the Holy of Holies, you had to be the high priest. Well, that rules out just about everybody, okay? Except for Aaron and whoever's sitting in the position as high priest, okay? That high priest has to be wearing the right kind of garments, has to be bathed in water, which is still a good idea, has to come in with a fire pan of coals, has to come in with incense, can only come in once a year on Yom Kippur. It's a very elaborate, very restrictive entrance into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because that atonement, while it's there and it does what it needs to do for the time being, part of the message is God's holiness is so vast and so eternal and so beyond ourselves. It's very difficult to enter into His presence, okay? Especially when your atonement is the blood of bulls and goats and a heifer, right? But now our atonement is complete. We've got a better atonement. We've got a better sacrifice for sins. It's Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, we all have access. Okay? And if we believers could understand this, okay, and stop saying things like, oh, I wish I lived in the days where I saw the glory of the Lord over the Holy of Holies in the desert. Boy, what a sight that would be. Right? Or boy, to sit at the feet of Yeshua as He's teaching. Yes, these things would be great, but we fail to understand the honored position of the time period we live in. Following Yeshua, we've got the perfect atonement. We need to live in the Holy Spirit. Right? We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And this was prophesied to us that it would be this way. This is not something new in the New Covenant, in the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament, as if it were a brand new idea. The prophets told us this day was coming. Okay? And I appeal to these portions a lot because I think they're important. But let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31. And if you have a Jewish Bible, it starts at verse 30. If you have a Christian Bible, it starts at verse 31. And God says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant of mine they broke." Right? We talked about that. We talked about how Israel kept falling. They broke that covenant that I made with them when I brought them out of Egypt. "Although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their inward parts, and I will write it in their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." There's a new covenant coming that includes God being so close to us that the Torah is now written on our hearts. Kind of reminds me of Ephesians 3:16, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. Okay, God's going to change us now so that we can meet those righteous requirements that we couldn't meet before. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. And this is God's promise to Israel, and of course, all of God's people through Messiah are invited into these promises here. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I also will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my ordinances and do them. So here's the problem with what we had during the Torah, the days of the Torah, during the days of our, before Yeshua, right? When we had the Torah, but we didn't have Yeshua and his sacrifice yet. The problem, of course, is us. The problem is not God's word. It's not his Torah. The problem was us, right? We had a sinful bent, right? We were bent towards evil. We had just the desires of our heart were not for the Lord. It was for self-satisfaction, right? Bent towards evil. And so we had atonement, and we had the laws, and we would try to live up to the law and the ordinances, the mitzvot, and we'd fail. Okay? We had the atonement, but the atonement wasn't good enough for us to all enter into that Holy of Holies experience. And even though the high priest could get into the Holy of Holies, it was only once a year. We need the Holy of Holies experience. We need to be able to live our lives in that locale. We need to be able to live our lives by the anointing of the Spirit in order to fulfill the mitzvot, the commandments. You can't just give a human being the commandments and expect them to just keep them. If you don't understand that, you probably don't have kids, right? We're bent towards disobedience. Right? And so we need to be remade on the inside. And we're remade by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 9. Paul does a lot of discussing this idea. He's excited. Paul is excited. Okay? Not about a new religion, as people often accuse him of. Right? Paul didn't start Christianity. Paul is excited about the fullness of the covenant of the Lord coming in through Yeshua the Messiah, as was prophesied by the prophets and Moses. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, he says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Do you want to be different? Do you want to be set apart? Do you want to follow God's mitzvot? You can't walk, you can't do it by the flesh. You have to do it by the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua made me free from the law of sin and death." Okay, what does this mean? Is the Torah the law of sin and death? No, except that it became the law of sin and death in that it set these beautiful mitzvot before me that I couldn't fulfill on my own. And so therefore I was the receiver, Israel was the receiver of the curses of the law until Messiah comes so that we can be remade to walk in the Spirit. Verse 3, Romans 8, verse 3, "For what the law, what the Torah couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You can go from atonement to righteous living, because now the atonement's perfect. You have the Spirit. You can walk a better life. Not that we're going to be perfect, right? First John makes it clear that we're not perfect. If we claim to be perfect, we're liars. We make him out to be a liar, and his goodness is not in us. But now we have the power to live victorious, righteous lives, even if not perfect. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's an inward change. It's not just I keep my feet from going to the prostitute's house, right? It's not just I keep my mouth from telling a lie. It's not just I keep my hands from building an idol. It's that on the very inward part now, my thoughts are consumed with thoughts of the Lord, right? I have a spiritual mindset now rather than a fleshly mindset. Verse 6, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subject to God's Torah, neither indeed can it be. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it is so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man doesn't have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. All right. When people ask questions like, are you a born-again believer? To me, that's repetitive, right? Yeah. You're either a born-again believer or you're not a believer at all. You either have the Spirit of God in your life, or you, according to Paul here, you're not his. You're not his. You're born again. This whole thing is about Yeshua recreating us by the Spirit of God to walk according to the righteous demands of the Lord. All right? And so we see the Torah outline, right? Atonement. Try to follow these mitzvot. Okay? You're set apart people. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. We fail. We fail. We fail. The new covenant outline needs to be, you've been set apart, you've been redeemed by a perfect sacrifice, so perfect that you can live in God's presence and God can live in you. There's no space between you and God anymore. He is in you. He is with you. He's remaking your heart. And so now those mitzvot are possible. When Yeshua says, if somebody asks you to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. That's a commandment, right? That means we go out of our way for the good of other people. Okay? Can we do that? We can do it because the Spirit of God within us gives us the love for that person to be able to do it, right? When the Word of the Lord, when Yeshua's Word says, not commit adultery, don't even look lustfully at a woman. Can we do that? It's very sad to me, the number of believers given to pornography. It is a travesty, because that is the mind of the flesh that Paul says leads to death, right? Can I do that? I can do that if I learn to connect with what is available to me, with the Spirit of God remaking me on the inside, getting excited about the spiritual things instead of the fleshly things. Can't do that anymore. Can't tell the jokes that the rest of... It's very tempting for some of us to tell jokes and get a laugh, and sometimes it's so tempting we'll cross that line of decency, right? Ever been there? I've been there. You know, tell a joke, and boy, I shouldn't have told that joke. That was dumb. Got a little bit of a giggle, but they really rolled their eyes, and they should have, right? So we have to be careful with the words of our mouth. We're different. We're different. We're different. We're made different because we've been atoned for, and that atonement is so complete. We have the Spirit of God. And so what do we do? When we find ourselves not in line with these commandments, with these mitzvot, with these righteous requirements. I'm not thinking the way I should be thinking, not speaking the way I should be speaking. I'm tempted by this. I'm angry. I'm this. What do we do? Well, we don't do the pull yourself up by the bootstrap mentality, right? We seek the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, I know that your Spirit to remake me on the inside is available to me through Messiah. That's what I need. That's what I need. What does Yeshua promise us in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13? He says, which of you, fathers, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he won't give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he won't give him a scorpion, will he? If then, being evil, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, Lord, I need your Spirit here. And we take the time. We meditate on the word of the Lord, and we pray, and we fellowship, and we stop doing those things that corrupt our minds, and we stop watching the TV shows that give us a fleshly outlook on things, right? And we stop looking at the things on the internet, or sometimes we have to limit our contact with certain people, right? Because we want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we want a mind, a spiritual mind rather than a fleshly mind, right? And so we say, Lord God, I'm out of alignment here, okay? I need to get on my knees before you, Lord. I need more of your Spirit in my life to remake me on the inside, to renew my mind. And you spend the time with the Lord seeking those things, he won't deny you. Right? The atonement is so great that the blessing is there for you. The blessing is there for me. So Lord God, I pray for the anointing of the Spirit to be mighty in our lives as we pursue you. Lord God, we look at these mitzvot, these commandments, and sometimes we're like, Lord, I'm not there. I'm not meeting this. I'm angry. I'm having a hard time forgiving people. I'm having a hard time with this temptation, with that temptation. Lord God, I've got a fleshly mindset right now. Lord, let me seek your Spirit. Let me submit to your Spirit. Let me surrender control to you. As you come in, you remake my heart, remake my mindset so that I can be that set-apart person. Not given to the ways of the world, but a set-apart person that declares your glory and your beauty. Not a perfect person, but a person with a spiritual mindset that delights in your commandments. In Yeshua's name, amen.